Hey, I have a shout out.
Okay.
I have a shout out for Brad. He's a nurse practitioner that works with my sister. And Brad is not like our target audience or who we would have in mind probably when we're having the conversation. He's a middle-aged man. I feel like I can say that because I'm middle-aged now.
So you can call people that.
So I can call. I can just assume other people are middle-aged.
Yes.
But Jess told him about our podcast, and so he listened to an episode. I don't know which one. And she said he came back to her and said that it was exactly what he needed to hear. And so he's been listening to our podcast, which I just think is fantastic. And goes to show that you don't have to be creative. Like, well, let me, you know, I think everyone is creative.
You don't have to be a, like, art-oriented person.
Yes, or obsessed with creativity or being artsy-fartsy or crafty or whatever.
Yes.
Like we are, to get things out of our podcast, which is exactly what finding fullness through creativity is all about. So,
exactly.
Anyway, Brad, I hope you're listening to this one.
Yeah, thanks for listening,
Hello
man.
From Arkansas. Do anyone you want to shout out, Madison? Why don't you shout out to the extra people we have in the studio with us right now?
Absolutely. So we're having to record in another studio because it is still, our AC is still out in the other one. So we've got our...
I don't think we've recorded since our AC has been out. Well, we haven't because we, without telling you, took a two-week break.
Guys, it was too hot to
Thanks for letting
do
us
anything
do
over there. We have our lead volunteer here, Nancy, our OG. And then we also have... One of my level three volunteers, Mariah, and she is
a kiddo, a level three kiddo.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have her on the podcast sometime.
Oh yeah. Maybe she'll just have a wild hair and something she wants to say. She can come pop in here now. So if you hear noise in the background, it's them being very
productive.
Yeah. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I almost forgot. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 79, we're talking about some creative confessions.
Hey, hey.
This is my confession.
So, okay, creative confessions. These are things that we have definitely talked about before. Oh, I should have like corresponded each of mine with an episode where we've talked about it. But things we've talked about before, but that we do still. Right?
Oh,
is that
yeah.
how you approached it?
And I also tried to kind of broaden them because there's some very specific creative things that I, or sorry, there's some, this is a very hard way to put it. Let me just rewind.
Just muddle through it.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
These are things that I tell people not to do.
Okay.
That I do.
Okay.
And I tried to broaden that a little bit to make it a little bit more applicable to everyone else.
Yeah. Everything that I used is high level as in like big picture.
No,
not high level as in like fancy
like,
problems.
I only have high level problems.
Yeah.
I don't got low level problems.
Right. But it wasn't anything like I tell people to do this on the sewing machine and I don't. I didn't write anything like that down.
I started out with that, but then I blew it up into some bigger
There
ones.
Was something that I had in mind when I suggested this as an episode, like a story that I thought of, and I cannot remember what it was.
Oh, no.
Even when we decided to do it, I've been trying to remember what initially made me think of this. And it must have been good because it spurred an idea for a podcast, but I don't remember. Maybe that's a confession.
Yeah, I totally dig this topic because I think people think that we've been in the creative biz for a while, that we must know everything and we don't make any more mistakes, but that is definitely not true.
Well, I think that it's easy to be in that mindset with anyone. Like, I just look back at my mom and thinking, oh, she's so good at being an adult because she's a mom and she knows how to call and make doctor's appointments. And like that moms just know what to do. And then now as a grown up, but I'm not a mom, but as a grown up, I'm like, oh no, they don't know. So anytime you see someone, I just was, I'm working on a website for the city. I'm not working on it. I'm like helping. I'm helping them find problems. So, but I was messaging with the web developers that are actually doing it. And I said, oh, it'll be so nice to work with actual professionals. And then they messaged back and said, I don't know if this ruins it, but we don't know what we're doing either.
Yes.
Like, nobody knows what they're doing.
Oh, one of my friends works in IT, and he has a t-shirt that says, "The difference between you and me is," and then it has a semicolon, and it says, "I Google better than you." And yeah. In a lot of ways, that's what it is. It's just that whatever person you think is an expert or who is an expert has just put in more time and effort. Like I was telling one of my cousins I recently met this weekend for the first time. That was cool. That he's going into college for the first time, but he's 28. Mm. And so he thought that he was going to have all of this, like have it all together, and that these 18-year-olds would have a leg up on him because they had just come out of school. Yeah. And he was like, wait a second. They're all starting in the same place that I am. Uh-huh. And it's like, yeah, you're not behind.
Also, they're 18. And you are older than 25 and have your whole brain.
Yes, exactly. You'll get more out of your college experience.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Education and learning is lost on the young. I mean, we need to teach them, but I think I would appreciate a lot of the things I didn't want to learn about a lot more now as an adult.
Well, I think that's why we have so many... why so many people enjoy documentaries or why so many people want to take up a new creative hobby in their adulthood because they realize how valuable it is.
Yeah.
So
along with that,
yeah,
the value also comes our confessions. How many do you have?
I have 4.
Okay. I have 5. So I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll just go. Coming up with new ideas is really hard.
But when you say new ideas, I always think, well, there's nothing really new under the sun. Like you're right. Taking inspiration from things, right?
And yeah. I guess what I mean is I always am still intimidated by the blank page, the blank canvas, the blank fabric. I mean, it's not blank, but you know.
With the uncut fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sometimes you get inspired, but I know we've talked before about, was it Pablo Picasso who has the quote that inspiration has to find you working?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't just sit around and wait for inspiration. So I know that. I know you have to go through the practice of it. But sometimes I just am wanting to be creative and I want for whatever it is going
to
be.
You want it to flow.
Yes. And then it doesn't.
So what do you feel like you should be doing then?
You mean...
like what makes this such a dirty...
It should come...
You're creative, so inspiration hits you all the time. Or you're always... You never have an artist block.
Or I just know the process so well that it doesn't... that the blank space doesn't create a block. Does that make sense?
I suppose so. It's been a while since I have encountered that blank page block. Maybe because I work under a lot of deadlines and I'm like, something's got to get on the page. So I'm just going to put something down.
But I think deadlines helps. And when you're talking about your own creative practice, there aren't deadlines. Like even if I put a deadline on myself, I know it's self-imposed and it's not real.
Well, you know, I've experienced this when I have a new, like when I find some fabric at a thrift store, I'm like, oh, I love this. I want to make something out of it. But I don't know what to make.
Mm-hmm.
I just store it wherever. And then sometimes 2 months, 3 months, a year down the road, I realize that's what I want to make with it. And so sometimes you just got to take that whatever material, that idea that you have and stow it away and keep working on other things.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got to keep it in your back pocket for when that inspiration
hits. I think
hits.
I feel a lot of pressure, specifically with our work at Make Do, to always be offering something new. And so I'm like, well, people don't want to do the same thing again. We need to come up with something new. Oh, what are people going to want? I don't know. We are, with the projects we come up with here, other people play a role in that. And so, you know.
Yeah, what am I going to do to offer that the people will enjoy?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the people will shock you. Uh-huh. Like we talked about,
I guess. And sometimes we spend a lot of time on something we think people are going to like and then nobody cares about it.
Yeah. So maybe we should just take that pressure off ourselves.
Yeah. Under pressure.
Yes.
Okay, your turn.
So my creative confession is sometimes I don't listen to advice that other creatives give me or other just other mentors give to me.
Or that we give to the people.
Or that we give to other people. Because I think I can just avoid it. Like, maybe I have too much faith in my own skill, or I think...
Do you have an example?
Well, I sew over my pins all the time.
I never sew over my pins.
Oh, no.
I only sew over them on accident, or like if I have to. Mariah just turned around
she's
and
shocked.
Glared at Madison.
Because I am her sewing teacher, and yes, I do sew over my pins.
Full speed?
Sometimes. Mariah's looking at me so shocked.
I mean, Mariah, I agree with you. I am appalled at this confession.
Okay, so just to get into a little bit of the minutia, sometimes a fabric is like really slippery, or
yes,
and so I need it to stay in place. So yeah, I do sew over my pins, and I will break a needle, and I've bent pins before. And I should have just listened to the advice and just taken my time and gone slow and take each pin out as I go. But
or at least sew over the pin slowly.
Yeah. But no. Sometimes I just do it and I think...
That was a dirtier confession than mine. I don't think I have any... Well, maybe I do have some dirty ones. I don't know.
It's like a roll of the dice, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. But if you're doing best practice in whatever you're doing, you're less likely to take chances like that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is a new confession because I talk about this before, but I don't ever finish anything.
Like you don't hem things?
I don't hem stuff.
Yeah.
Or I will not cut all of the threads off before I wear it.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, at my house, I don't know that there's a single finished DIY project at my house.
And you say that, but people would see Make Do and the brand and think how polished and how finished it is. And it just goes to show that you may excel in one area of, oh, yes, everything is polished to a fine shine in this area of my life. Mm-hmm. But another one, I don't really care about that.
Like, when was it that I painted my ceiling and my walls?
Oh, months
ago. Two or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
The return air vents still aren't back on the ceiling.
Oh my goodness.
Just have open ducts.
Yeah, just
anyway,
open.
I never finish anything. I just threw that one in. That was a freebie.
Yeah, there you go. A little freebie. Don't finish anything. But yeah, sometimes I don't listen to the advice. And really, I should. And I should. And maybe that's the other secret one is that, like, sometimes I rush because I think I know better.
Or that it'll be okay.
Yes. Which more than likely it won't be. Like, there's a reason why they tell you to go slow or do this or, like, this is best practice. And that's because it works.
Mm-hmm.
So trust the people that know.
I think some of this comes with expertise, though, is knowing where you can cut corners. And maybe we talked about this in the Becoming Intermediate episode. Mm-hmm. But once you know your specific skill set and where you... exceed in the process and where you have problems, you know what corners you can cut personally. Yes. And maybe sewing over pins is one that you're like, you shouldn't do it, but oh well.
Oh, sometimes
it works for me.
I get caught by the kids in class because I'm showing them something and they're like, wait, Miss Madison, you need to take out the pin. And I was like, oh yeah, I need to take out the pin.
Yeah, Mariah, you keep an eye on her moving forward. So what Mariah's saying is Madison, she's telling on Madison another thing that Madison does.
I don't hold on to the tails of my
thread. Yeah, but that is one that I will tell everyone always you should do because it keeps your tension in your machine. It keeps you from having a rat's nest on the back when you sew.
This is true. And I have had a few rat's nests on my clothes back home. But yeah. So
easily avoidable.
Man. People are always watching you.
Yeah. Mariah, we'll set up another microphone. You can just keep telling on Miss Madison. okay. I think it's my turn.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't like to try things that I know I'm not going to be good at.
Like an escape room?
Yes. Or I'm trying to think of something... specifically connected to creativity. But
I don't know. You dabble in a lot of different things.
I do.
Painted and you sew and I mean, you do a lot of like digital art as well.
I guess I guess I'm comfortable in the creative realm. And so I feel like that I could figure it out. Anything that would be too realistic painting wise, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm not that kind of artist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't want to do an escape room if I don't know that I can get out of it.
Because that takes some creative thinking. Yeah. You have to think about how things can be used in different ways and how to solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm. I don't like showing up in social situations that I don't know what my role will be.
Yeah.
Or who will be there or when they will get there and will I get there first.
So like, you're telling me that you have a hard time being uncomfortable.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another week. Yes. So that is, we're always telling people, like, that's one of my tips always for getting over your perfectionism is yeah. I tell people, do something on purpose that you know you're not good at. Like, be bad at something on purpose.
Yes.
And I refuse.
Just absolutely not.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe
no
I'll,
thanks.
Maybe I'll get you to an escape room one day. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll go to an escape room with you if I have to have shoulder surgery and I just have one arm, because then I'll be like, oh, it was because I just had one arm.
even if it has nothing to do with that.
Like, yeah, but I was like, limited.
I was. So. I have an excuse. I love it. My second one is that I don't stick to my boundaries and my creativity. Like I always try, like when a scope of a project hits me, or like when I'm looking at a new project, I don't keep the scope in the appropriate boundaries of time that I have. Or maybe that I say yes to something that I shouldn't have.
But personally.
Personally, yes. And so specifically, it can be things like, okay, well, you said that you were going to be working with the fabric that you have. Well, then you went out and you bought more fabric, which...
Okay.
Yes.
I see
which
what you're
I
saying.
Have. Or someone says, hey, I need 8 costumes from you in a month. And I will say yes to that. Even though that was, you know, that would be...
Even though you know you shouldn't from exactly. the beginning say yes. Yes.
I already know that, like, that's something I cannot handle. But I say yes anyway.
Okay. And it's not in a way that's pushing you out of your comfort zone Mm-mm. to make you better. It's
no.
a stressful
yeah.
situation. Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. I've said yes to some t-shirt quilts that I'm returning.
Yeah. Sometimes you have yeah. to go back and be like, you know what? I just really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those learning moments that or those kind of shameful moments where I have to send something back or I have to tell them no after I've said yes, that keeps me from saying yes whenever it makes me ask, well, how much, you know, what is this going to take? What are the things that I can give and then go from there?
And sometimes we try to make those boundaries, like with money. I know professionally, mm-hmm. I would say, okay, I'm not going to do a t-shirt quilt for less than fill in the blank, $1,000. And then if someone says, I'll pay $1,000, then I have to think, oh, well, I'd do it for $1,000. But the truth is, no,
probably
no,
not.
No, thanks. I don't want to.
Yeah. Because that's your free time that you mm-hmm. could have been doing other things.
Yeah. I'd rather be painting a mural, a left-handed mural these days.
So I think this confession is probably pretty specific to people who have a certain niche that they do. Like maybe they decorate cookies or they sew or they do something that not a lot of people do. And so you have people come and ask you, oh, well, can you come install this sink for me? Like, I just don't know how to do it. And you have to be able to have boundaries with that.
Mm-hmm. So. Or maybe your boundary is, because I think it could even be personal. Well, like I have a boundary of, okay, I'm not going to watch TV after a certain time, or I'm only mm-hmm. going to play one level of Two Dots or
yes.
something. And then you push past that boundary. I think that it can happen even in a more, in air quotes, amateur.
Oh, yeah.
Level two of I'm not going to sew past 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get stuck in a project. And then at 3:30, you're still sewing. And then you have a rough day the next day.
You know, I always think that it's going to, I'll feel better about having the project done or get to a spot where I wanted to be at versus quitting, quote, early or quitting when I said I was going to. But let me tell you, like, looking at my watch and being like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. I have to stop now. And then going to bed and waking up the next day, that feels really good.
And you hit a point of no return when all you're doing is either making mistakes or moving really slow or, yeah.
I told Richard this last night. He was working on the car battery and it was hot. He was getting frustrated. It was like getting close to 10 o'clock. And I said, he's like, we just won't have two cars tomorrow. I said, we'll figure it out. Let's just leave this for now. Because being more frustrated is not going to, or trying to push yourself is not going to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm. And most of the time that is an option. Like it may be inconvenient. But was it really even that inconvenient for you to not have two cars today?
No, I was lucky enough to have, I could call up my boss and tell her to come pick me up, and she did that.
Yeah.
She's so nice.
So it was no big deal.
Absolutely not. I just had to do a little bit of planning of like, what do we do with the dog? So like, keep your boundaries. It just makes you have to think maybe a little bit more unconventionally about how to work with those boundaries. Mm-hmm.
This is maybe related, but I don't know. You can tell me. I just, you know, I'm obsessed with the mural that I just finished. But obviously, we've talked about how I hurt myself doing it too because I knew I was pushing too hard. And there were some days that I said, okay, I'm not going to come back tonight. And then I would go home, let Pip out, and then go, oh, I'll just go do one more color. Mm-hmm. And so then I was feeling really bad that I left it unfinished for 3 weeks, but I went in, I had a friend come because I can't reach over my head. So I had a friend come in and paint all the high parts and I was painting down low anyway on a Sunday. And then when I went back, when people in the office were there, one of the women was like, were you here? I couldn't even tell. Like,
oh, the touch-ups were so minute and the mural was so big.
And I think if she had known what to, you know, it was obvious. It wasn't. But it also made me feel better that, okay, I didn't leave it in such a dire state as I thought.
Oh, yeah. I had known what you had done already, and then you said, oh, I feel bad about leaving it unfinished. I thought, I think everyone was okay with it. Yeah. It wasn't like it was half colored in.
But I still partly felt like they were just being nice.
Well, and that's where you have to trust other people's boundaries. Mm-hmm. If they didn't like it, they should have said something. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust in your own boundaries and trust in other people's.
Okay. Well, this is a good leads into my next one.
All right.
I obsess over the small things.
You know, like touching up on your mural. Yeah,
the up close things.
Except for hems, which I think is interesting. Because I would consider that a small detail.
Okay. But it's not an imperfection.
No, it's just you stopped at a certain point.
It's something that's unfinished.
You haven't even attempted it.
No.
So you can't be bad at it.
Right.
Because you haven't attempted
it. I obsess over points that don't match up perfectly in a quilt or in the mural, a line that was like a little wavy or, and I think in one of the last episodes we did, it's been so long, I don't remember what we talked about, but I remember we were saying don't obsess over like
the small details.
The small details. Let that go. And I never do. I hold on to that so tight.
Well, sometimes we think that that's what makes us excellent.
Yes.
Is going back.
Oh, that's when we talked about it in the excellence versus perfection.
Yeah. We think that that's what's going to make us stand out. And sometimes it does. Mm-hmm.
Because attention to detail does push you into excellence versus someone who is average.
Sure.
Or like meeting expectations.
But obsessing over the detail, that's where the problem lies.
And letting the detail ruin the whole experience or the whole project for you or be the only thing that you see in the end.
So I have, well, this will be another little extra confession for you. So you've been working on something for Make Do and you sent me two images. Well, it was in a set of three images, but it was two images. And I was trying to find the difference between the two.
Oh.
And I couldn't. And I was like, I know there's something different. Otherwise,
she
wouldn't have sent it to me in two separate photos. So whatever small detail you were playing with, I had no idea.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to know what it was after we're recording because you're being cryptic.
I didn't want to give anything away that you may not want given away. Yeah. So.
Okay, yeah, I will be interested.
So yeah, whatever detail you're obsessing over in that one, I couldn't tell.
Well, I will tell you, because we like to reward our podcast listeners. Thank you, Brad. I'm rebranding MakeDo. We're doing like a redesign. So that's all we'll tell you. Yeah. And I'm assuming that that's what you're
talking
about.
That is exactly it, yes.
But I can't remember what I would have sent you. So we'll have to see. And now it's like different from anything I would have sent you before the weekend.
Exactly.
Anyway, well, that's one where I was staring... you know, we were just talking about go to bed, like just stop and go to bed. And I have been staring at my screen, like obsessing over and, you know, trying to play with stuff, because design, graphic design and computer things, I can do it and I like it, but I'm not fast at it. And I don't have the creative muscle memory for what to try. So it does take me a long time. But I think that's why I had a migraine today.
Oh, because you had just pushed past your... past your boundary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all, your body will tell you.
Yes, you just have to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes she's quiet and I don't listen.
Got to give space to listen to
that. Okay, I obsess over the small things.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
I'm going to say something that has helped me with this, actually. Yeah. You. Like.
Oh, really?
Because I would say, okay, for example, we canceled a quilting class a couple weeks ago. Because our air conditioner was out. We had two people cancel like the day of. This was at the height of my shoulder problems, like when it was still pretty acute pain. And I called Madison and said, I'm thinking about canceling. I just need you to talk me through it. And I told you, I said, if this was your class, I would tell you to cancel. Like I wouldn't even think about it.
Which is where I should have stopped Joe at that moment in the conversation and said, well, then go ahead and cancel
it. And you did say that to me later, but you let me like
go through all of what you just went through. And I was like, yeah, it does sound like you need to cancel it. But yeah, sometimes, so maybe that will help our listeners. So whoever's out there, maybe try to imagine someone else being in your shoes. Would you make them work that hard?
Right. If someone was working for you.
Yeah.
And I think this is why it's helpful for me specifically, because like you are paid by the hour. Mm-hmm. And so your time has a very definite,
it has a distinct value to it.
My time does not. And I joke about how my time is free for MakeDo.
Yeah. Which is not true, because I mean, obviously you get paid to be here. But it is absolutely valuable.
But I get paid the same.
Yes.
Regardless of how much time I spend. And so I err towards the side of like working more, which actually devalues my time.
Not to mention, like you were talking about the point of no return. I really do think that if you are not taking off time to rejuvenate and rest, however that is for you, whatever you decide to do with that time, then the work that you do here won't be as good.
Well, and here's another confession that I didn't write down. And we've talked about this before. I love my work. And so a lot of times when I have a weekend off and can do whatever I want to do, I want to work on a rebrand for MakeDo, which is time spending on MakeDo. I don't want to do the other things that need to be done.
Yeah.
So it's tricky when your hobby and your passion and the thing that you like to do is also
all the same
your work.
Yeah. That can be really confusing.
Okay,
maybe
your turn.
It's another podcast. Who knows?
Wait, is it your turn?
Yeah, yes, it is my turn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I interrupted you to explain how you helped me not obsess over the small things.
This is going to sound redundant, but I've tried new things and I've failed at them. I just need people to know that.
Oh.
I don't want them to have this misconception that I have, that because I've spent so much time in the creative world that I have not failed. But let me tell you, I have. Recently, I was trying out, I would call it a recipe, but it's not really. It's sort of like a formula for making blender ice cream.
Okay.
And he's like, all right. Here is all the things you need to make it, but you can switch things out for this and you can do different things. And I started making it. And let me tell you, I have had some real stinkers, some inedible ice cream. And I thought I did all the proportions right. But because the nature of both creativity and working with food, sometimes having the exact measurements using the exact materials doesn't always yield the same results. Or edible results at that matter.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of playing around and figuring out how to make this better. And it kind of makes me feel like a little disappointed in myself because I've been cooking for so long and I'm such a creative person. I thought, oh, like I genuinely thought once I decided to do this, I'd nail it on the first try.
I think that's it. I don't think it's the failing that's a problem because we know that that's part of it.
You're right.
It's, we kind of puff ourselves up, right? Like, but I'm a professional at this and I shouldn't mess up.
I have so much experience.
If it was something totally new, if it was a pottery class that you've never done before, the failing would be expected. And so it wouldn't bother you.
No, you're absolutely right. So I just felt like I should have been able to do well at it. Or even when I talked about hanging up that light in my bathroom, I thought, oh, I know how to measure and cut things really well, but I still must have done something that I didn't know that I did wrong because the hole was still slightly bigger than I needed it to be. And it ended up working out okay. I fixed my mistakes. I've made delicious blender ice cream since then, but I didn't nail it on the first try. And it made me kind of upset with myself. So.
I think that goes back to, I don't like to try things I'm not going to be good at.
Yes.
Okay. I don't stop to eat.
Yeah, I know. So let me tell you, friends, I'm going to, can I take over your confession for a hot second? I'm going to tell on Joe.
I mean, I already told on myself, but you can give an example.
Upon working here, like once I started working here full time, occasionally I'd bring my lunch and I would be shocked at how little Jo would bring for herself at lunch. And she would say things like, oh, well, I'm not very hungry at lunch, or, you know, oh, I had the breakfast at a certain time. I'm fine. But I mean, you will eat at like 2-3 o'clock or sometimes you'll just go without food. And I'm just, I'm shocked.
It's so strange because I love food. I hate making food decisions, like deciding what I'm going to eat, preparing what I'm going to eat. I don't want to mess with any of that. It gets in my way.
Because you've got the flow going on.
Yes. And so I will bring food for lunch if I have cooked the night before and I have leftovers. And then that makes for a really good day. Mm-hmm. But also that is not always the case because sometimes I had Frosted Flakes for dinner because I could not be bothered to actually stop take the time to make something else. It's a real problem.
So how does that affect your creativity then?
I mean, I think it affects my whole mood in general. It also affects my physicality. It affects, I think when it comes to creativity, it's an energy thing or like a hangry thing.
Yes. It's like I've done this before where I'm sewing something and I know I need to go to the bathroom and I'm like, just until I get to this spot, guys, stop whatever you're doing.
It doesn't take very long.
Yeah. It's those silly things where like, oh, I'm just going to wait until, and maybe other people don't have this problem because Richard is like, wait, you do that? I'm like, you don't. But I'm that kind of person where I'm like, oh, I'll just wait until
I forget. It'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot I had to go to the bathroom. I forgot I was holding it.
Ooh, like when I'm on the road, like because I just got back from a trip, I was like, oh, I really gotta go, but like, I could probably make it to the next town. I'm like, there's a gas station right there. Just go.
You're not gonna find anything better.
Yeah, just go. So,
yeah, I don't stop to eat.
Yeah,
and you always—that's always a tip you mention.
Yeah, stop.
Eat, feed yourself, nourishment, make a green smoothie.
I guess I'm the hippie here now. Go make yourself a cup of tea, whatever you need to like just take a hot second.
Oh, I do always take time to heat up my coffee.
This is true. And I'm proud of you for that. And you have also encouraged me to warm up my tea because I don't take the time to then warm up my tea if it gets cold.
This is superfluous. Like, I will... Wait, is that the word I mean?
Extra?
This is like this thing that doesn't matter if I have hot coffee. It just shows my priorities are a little bit upside down. Because what actually matters is, am I feeding myself?
Yes.
So you have that part down.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you deserve the luxury of a hot beverage.
Yes. I love it. It's so good. Okay. I can get caught up in the opinions of others when it comes to my creative pursuits.
Okay, this is a good one that I was trying to decide how I wanted to say it, and so I never wrote anything down.
Yeah. So it really hit me, I would say 2 weeks ago, someone was asking me if I had painted my my cabinets green yet. Because I have a color picked out and everything. Mm-hmm. And I've been second guessing myself. I love the color green. And I would love to have more color in my life, especially in a kitchen where I spend so much time making the food that I talk about. But I'm like, is it too weird? Is it, will people feel like my kitchen is strange? Because a kitchen tends to be kind of the heart of the home. People tend to gather in there when they're over at your house, whether they're eating or, you know, getting refreshments or whatever. And so I just think, was my choice appropriate?
Easy one. We'll mock it up, Madison. We can do it on the iPad.
Okay. Maybe I need to learn how to do that a little bit and see how I feel about it. But it happens in other ways too. I have one striped dress. The rest of my dresses tend to be...
Oh, your rainbow dress?
My rainbow dress. The rest of them tend to be floral dresses. I get so many compliments on that striped dress that the other day I went to the store and I bought some striped fabric because other people had told me they loved that particular striped dress. But I started to kind of think about, well, why are people saying that? Why did I care to buy this striped fabric? Am I really in love with this striped fabric? Or did I just buy it because I want to make another thing that other people will like?
I get that. As someone who I'm learning requires the approval of other people. But also, do you like your striped dress?
Oh, I love my striped dress. Yeah. But I had to think about what I liked about it. And I really love the colors and the play of the stripes. Mm-hmm. And I bought it, and it was such an anomaly because I normally don't like stripes. And that's what kind of got me, was like, I was in love with the fabric regardless of what it was. I wasn't buying it based on type. But then I was over here trying to buy, like, have lightning strike again and buy more striped fabric and make another.
Did you buy more striped fabric?
I sure did.
Do you like the striped fabric?
It's something that's out of my comfort zone, but I think I could like it, but not as much as I like the other striped fabric.
But also, like, are you going to make the same dress? You're going to play with it.
Yeah. So I'm going to do some different things. But I can't help but notice that a lot, that I can let other people's opinions influence my creativity. I got so many compliments on that dress. All that, what is it, like serotonin just like hit my brain. And I think I wanted more of that.
Well, of course. Yeah, it is like I showed you this morning the logo as it stands now. Mm-hmm. Like your opinion, if you are like gush over it or if you're hesitant, mm-hmm. makes a difference.
Yeah.
Or like there's a few people that I've been showing it to because it's also hard to trust your instinct sometimes. And with something like a brand, it's not just about me.
Yes.
You know, there is you're trying to get across a feeling about make do, and the way other people react to it lets you know if you're on point for the feelings you're trying to get across. But anyway, other people's opinions, we can't ever get away from them. Mm-hmm. I think it is, what priority do they hold over?
Yeah. How much are we going to take them into consideration? Especially like when I'm making something for myself, like the other people's opinions should not matter. At least I should take that into very low consideration when I'm making something, because if that becomes at the top of the list and I'm making something that I'm not a fan of and I've spent money and time and effort on it, then that's just wasted time for mm-hmm. me.
Sometimes I think in this particular case, I think you need to let yourself off the hook a little, because I think that's why I asked if you like the dress. Mm-hmm. If you know, I think that it sewing with stripes and doing something out of your normal florals or whatever your mm-hmm. superhero fabric is going to have benefit for you.
Yeah.
In the creative process.
You know, that getting uncomfortable.
Yeah. It would be like if you said people only comment on this striped dress and they never comment on the floral dress. I am throwing the floral dress away and I am only wearing stripes from now on.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. I think you're in a safe zone with this one.
Okay, good.
And this is my last one.
Okay.
I feel like a bad creative when I'd rather just watch TV all weekend and not do anything. I feel like I am wasting prime creative time and that I should always, with any of my free time, be doing something awesome. And if the TV's on in the background, that's fine. But if I am like, I'm
only
just
watching TV,
sit and watch TV all weekend and be lazy, then that makes me feel like I'm not really a creative.
Absolutely. I hear this one. When I look back on a weekend and I'm like, have you sewn anything? Did you paint anything? Must have been a wasted weekend. Guess you didn't really rest, did you? Mm-hmm. You didn't really do what you wanted to do. And I shame myself for it. Like, mm-hmm. what is up with that? Like, you have a bum shoulder right now. Mm-hmm. You probably do need to be resting and not doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then here you are like, oh, what have I done this weekend? I haven't put my air vents back up. Well, you can't reach your head, your hands over
oh,
your head.
But they also weren't up for months
I mean,
before
that's
that
true.
Was a problem.
But now you have an excuse.
Yeah. But it also is like, if I do have to have surgery, this is my dominant hand, and I will lose it for a while. So then I'm like, I have to squeeze in everything that needs done.
Yeah, but if you do, but you're going to make it worse.
But they're going to fix it, so it doesn't matter.
If they come out and they're like, Joe, it's just in pieces
in there.
We had
to take the whole arm.
It's I hope not. That would not be good.
We got to wait on a new part.
It's a new part to come in. Help us all. Yeah. No. No, but I totally understand that one where you have this thing that you're really good at and you're like, well, did I do it this weekend? Did I get any of that done? And then you shame yourself for it. Doesn't make you a bad creative. It makes you a creative at rest.
I like that. Yeah. I think it can be similar anytime we put a label on ourselves, like I'm a backpacker. I love to cook. I'm a quilter, whatever, fill in the blank.
And then you're like, oh, but I haven't done that in like 3 months, four uh-huh. months. And you're like,
ooh, oh, I do this with reading. Mm. I'll be like, I'm a reader. I love to read. But then if I haven't really been able to get through a book or I'm never reaching for a book, then I think, can I even call myself a reader anymore?
So that is... we're kind of getting into this issue of labels then. Because I tell people I'm not a gamer because I don't like game on like every weekend. Or there are certain video games that I play that aren't the normal ones. Mm. But I still play video games. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot about them. So people are like, well, I guess you kind of are. It's that issue of like, well, I don't do it enough.
Maybe we talked about this with imposter syndrome. Or at what level can you say I am the thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which you have the qualities of a creative. So like if you take a break for a year, you're still going to be a creative.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you know, what TV shows you binge.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was my last one. Yeah. We threw in a couple extras.
Yeah. Little surprise confessions.
I still cannot believe you sew over your pins.
I know. Everyone's shocked.
That was the juiciest of the things.
Sorry, guys.
I don't think probably anyone is surprised that I obsess over the small things or that I don't want to do it if I don't think I'm going to be good at it.
Yeah. There's a few sewing things where I'm like, this is what I should be doing, but I don't want to do it.
While we're talking about confessions on a podcast where we try to help people work through their
yes.
their creative hang-ups mm-hmm. or what have you, do you think that sometimes when we're talking about something, it's easy for me to talk about perfection, right? Because it's such a big struggle for me. And I know what to say, but then I know I don't do it. And so mm-hmm. sometimes as I'm saying things, I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, right. This
would be great if someone would actually do it.
But yes. that goes back to what you were saying, you know, do what I say, not what I do.
It's true. And really, there's going to be times in your creative endeavors that you're not going to do things perfectly and you are going to fall back into some of these like dark side of creativity. You may identify with some of these confessions, but what matters is the consistency of mm-hmm. just continuing to show up. And
that's my word of the year. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. You haven't been consistent with consistency.
Forgot to be consistent.
But the kids keep me consistent about taking mm-hmm. my pins out of my pin cushion or out of my sewing as I go and other things as well.
I think a lot of these things, having accountability is what keeps you from doing them, right? If someone else was living in my house with me, I would be eating real dinner.
Yes. So that's what...
I would be finishing projects.
Sure. But I mean, I live with someone and I still don't finish a lot of projects. Although when I was painting that bathroom, it was, hey, when's that bathroom going
to
get done?
But you also don't have the need to be as impressive as I do.
That's fair. But that's what's great about being creative in a community.
Yeah.
Is you have that accountability. Mm-hmm.
And or being a teacher to young sewists who call you out.
They teach me a lot and they keep me sharp.
Mariah, can you think of anything else Madison has not confessed that the people need to know that she does? I don't think there's anything bad. Okay. Mariah says nothing bad.
Good. I think I really will
you
have
really
to have.
You really dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, I have. I will have to bring her and maybe some other of my level threes on.
Well, we haven't talked to any of your girls.
Yes.
We've talked to a couple boys and we've talked to my teens, but none of your wins.
Yes. So.
Okay. What's sweet or sour? I forgot what we start with. Sour. What's your sour?
Oh, so actually, it tells a better story if I start with my sweet. Can I just change it up on you?
Duh.
Okay. So my sweet is that I got to see a lot of family this weekend and got to know a lot of extended family that I didn't know and found out that we had a lot in common. Shocker. It's like we're related. And so I just had such a great time. And I got to share a room with my parents and my sister. So it was like we were like a young family again on trips and stuff. And that was fun. Maybe that's a nightmare for some of y'all to be stuck in a room with your parents and your siblings.
It's just that I won't say which parent, but one of them snores really bad.
So maybe there's some things like that. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. But my sour is I came home. And Richard is in the garage and his car battery is out on the ground and he's trying to work on it and he's getting really frustrated. I open up the door and my dog like throws up right as I walk in the door.
Oh.
And I was just like, yeah, I guess it's good to be home.
Welcome
now.
Home.
Yeah. So that's my sweet and sour.
Yeah.
Good trip. Weird homecoming.
Weird homecoming. Okay, my sour, I have several. We're going to have to record multiple episodes this week so I can spread them out.
Yes.
The air conditioner being out in Maine Dew.
That gets old real fast. It was sold the second day, you know, that we had it out. I'm ready to have it back.
So I haven't been working up here because that's the side our offices are in. Madison has still been able to have class. But thank I just goodness. Feel really, I don't work as well from home. I don't stay focused. I don't like not connecting with you. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like I don't know what's going on. So that is the sour I will pick for today.
AC and it's hot.
Yeah.
What's your sweet?
Well, I guess another sour is that I have to get an MRI with contrast, which means I have to get an injection in my shoulder, which means I'll pass out because I can't help it. It's not because I'm weak. It's because my body has a physiological response that I cannot control, but it still makes me weak. But we'll probably have to record tomorrow
afterwards.
And then we will know if I did pass out or not. So, okay. But when this episode comes out, it will already have happened anyway.
And you'll be done with it.
And I'll be done. Yes. Okay, so that's just hanging over my head. But my sweet is I'm really liking the direction that Make Do's rebrand is going.
Oh, well, good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it as well. I'm enjoying watching the timeline of the changes.
Well, and Madison was gone over the weekend, so I let her be gone and I didn't send her 1,000 things.
I also didn't have service. So even if you did, it just wouldn't have hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a podunk town.
Mm. So I guess that's my sweet.
Nice.
Are you learning anything?
Well, I learned how to make blender ice cream.
Oh, right.
That was my big learn. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I've been learning. Honestly, that was enough. Those first few, like having, it really feels like shame when you have to throw out, quote, perfectly good food because it's inedible.
Mm.
And you like try and fail at a recipe.
Yeah. Are you making it dairy free?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's why I was learning this so that Richard could have some as well.
So you make it in the blender and then you just put it in the freezer or you still use the ice cream maker?
So the way this works is this guy kind of reverse engineered ice cream. Ice cream is some sort of milk base that has ice crystals in it. And that's why it has the very small ice crystals in it. And that's why it has the mouthfeel that it does. With blender ice cream, you kind of do it in the opposite way. You have milk, and you may add like different flavorings and things like that, and some different stabilizers or protein to kind of get you that sort of silky, creamy mouthfeel. But you replace the ice crystals that you would get from churning ice cream
with air,
with ice. So you use actual ice, and that's why you need the blender. So what comes out is essentially like a soft serve that you can then freeze, and then it'll turn into regular ice cream, or you can just eat it right then.
Interesting.
But it gives you a lot of options because it's all being made in a blender, so you can like throw in fruit, or you can throw in some cocoa powder or like cookies and things and get those all chopped up and then essentially have ready to go soft serve within minutes or ice cream in a couple hours.
Versus using an ice cream maker and it just takes longer.
Which, and I don't know if that would work with some of Richard's dairy-free or lactose-free ice cream, if it would churn the same way. I haven't done research into that. So that's why I thought this blender ice cream would be good to learn about.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have been learning. I've been watching a lot of graphic design videos.
You don't
and
say.
Like Adobe Illustrator and all kinds of stuff to up my skills.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. That's what I've been doing.
Very cool.
All right. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back. I'll be back here for a little while, and then I'm going to take a break once summer is done because I am beat.
Next week, you're taking a break.
Yes.
And thank you guys for being patient when we took a break and didn't tell you.
We're sneaky like that, but we appreciate
you. Yeah, Madison had two really busy weeks in a row, and we just couldn't, like, work in the scheduling time. Also, the air conditioner was making it tricky.
Yeah. But we figured it out, and we may not be perfect at this, but we're going to have some consistency.
And, okay, that was an example of I said, Madison, you know it's okay if we take a break.
Yes.
And you were like, really? And I said, yes, we can take a break. We don't have to do this. And we did. Look at us.
And it was good.
Look at us being healthy with our boundaries.
For the most part.
Well, have a good week. Yes. And we'll be back tomorrow to record an episode for next week.
But we'll see you then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.